Good morning. May the peace of God be with us all. Amen. It's a beautiful morning. It's Christmas. It's the best news this world has ever heard and needs to hear, that a Savior's been born, Christ the Lord. I would like to welcome each and every one of you here this morning. If they have guests in our midst, you are heartily welcome to worship our great God with us this morning. May you feel at home, and may we feel the excitement of Christmas as we worship this morning. I would like to start off with reading two verses out of Luke chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. It says, "And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'" Let's start with prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We want to thank you for this morning. We want to thank you for this season. We want to thank you for each one that has come out this morning to praise, honor, and worship you through song, through prayer, through meditation. We want to thank you for your great love that you extended towards us by sending us your Son, Jesus Christ. As a little child, he became man so he could be one of us and he could show us a way back to you. He was born to die, but he was also born to be resurrected, to live forever in eternity, to make a way for us to have forgiveness of sins, to have peace in our hearts, to have joy in our hearts, and to live in this world as an example, as a light, as you have told us in John chapter 8, that we are to be that light so that the darkness can see that there is a better way, there is a light way, a way of peace. We pray this morning that you will guide us with your words. We pray that for your protection around this building. And we pray that you will protect our thoughts, keep our thoughts only on you this morning, so that you are the focus, because that is the reason for the season. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, in whose name we pray, amen. At this time, we'll have two songs, please.
Let's take a red book, turn to number 68. Thou didst leave thy throne. Number 68.
My heart for thee. heart, Lord Jesus. There is room in my heart for thee. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus, come. There is room in my heart for thee. And the hymn shall ring, and its choir shall sing, at thy coming to victory.
Number 76, the sun is now risen. Number 76.
Those songs, it took me back to the little church in Sommerfeld. As a Sunday school student, we would sing those songs. The only thing we would sing them in German. And that's amazing. I still know all the lyrics off the heart in German. It kind of sticks with you. So it's Christmas Day. I don't know how many of you had young children at home or have young children at home or maybe had some grandchildren over. How the excitement about Christmas morning. How the children are so excited to open those gifts. And I sometimes wonder if we as adults, if we have lost that excitement about Christmas, the gift that we have received, the gift that God sent. We hear this story every year. The story is very familiar to us. We read chapter 2 of Luke most times during the Christmas season, and most of us know it quite well. So it's familiar. And if we don't really pay attention or we don't really want to listen when the preacher preaches or reads it, we kind of miss the glory of what God has done. And what is glory, actually? Glory is, if you look it up in the dictionary, it's honorable, it's splendor, it's exalted. And then we often ask the question, how could God do what he did? How could he give himself or empty himself and for us as men and women? The sinful nature that we have, why would he give his son so that we can have eternal life? And if we read it and we study it, it all comes back to one word, and that is love. This morning I want to turn to Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 16. Philippians 2, 5 to 16, it says, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. If we go back just a few verses from the last verse that I read, it says, work out your own salvation. And I hope and pray this morning that each one of us here this morning knows Jesus Christ as his or her personal Savior. And if there should be anybody here this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and you do not follow him, then you're actually missing the point of life altogether. Because Jesus Christ came to this earth to die for you and for me. He came to show us a way to heaven. And before I ask the question, how could God empty himself or give himself as a little child, and why would he do that for you and for me? And there's only two reasons why he would do that. One of them was love, and one of them was so that we could have eternal life. This, in verse 8 of our text here, it says, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The first step that he took, or the first stop, was the cross. He showed us, he came in as a child in a manger, and then he lived his life. But then when he went to that cross, that's where the real sacrifice started. He didn't have to go to the cross. He prayed a few times that he didn't need to, but he wanted to, that because that's what his mission was for you and for me. And Jesus did it all to the glory of God, not to glorify himself, but to the glory of God, like we read in verse 11, where he says, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So how do we and how can we reflect God's glory in our lives? In verses 15 and 16, it says, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye, that's us, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of God, life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. We reflect God's glory in our life like the moon reflects the sun's light. The moon always has the sun in view. And we can see the sun's light reflected in the moon each night. Just a few days ago, when we looked outside and it was just bright outside. It was dark, but the moon was so bright, it was reflecting the sun's light upon the earth. And when we are to reflect God's glory, how do we get to that point? How do we get to that point where we reflect the sun's life in us? Is Jesus Christ, the one that was born and laid in the manger, is he real to you and me? Are you excited that he was born for you and me? Is that gift important to me and you? Just like that little child, our 3-year-old grandson, he could hardly wait to open that present. He kept asking and asking, when can I open that present? He didn't say it in those words, you can hardly understand him, but he wanted that present. He wanted to know what was in there. We have a present, which is Jesus Christ. God presented us with that gift. Have we taken that gift? Are we using that gift on a daily basis, not just on Christmas Day and then we put it on the shelf and then it gets covered in dust? We're to reflect God's glory, and the only way we can reflect God's glory is by spending time with the gift that he has presented to us. When we look at Exodus chapter 34, Exodus chapter 34, verses 29 to 35. Moses, when he went to the top of the mountain and he spent time with God, he reflected God's glory when he came down from the mountain. And verse 29, it says, and it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him. And Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him, and Moses talked with them. And afterward, all the children of Israel came nigh, and he gave them commandment, all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. Until Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And he came out and spake unto the children of Israel that which he was commanded. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. And Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with him. How bright is your smile this Christmas? How do you radiate God's love to one another? Is Christ fully into your heart? When the disciples walked on this earth, They were with Jesus for 3 years. They walked with him, they talked with him, they slept with him, they did everything with him. That's what a disciple is. It's somebody that learns from a teacher. They spend their life walking with him. In John chapter 1, verse 14, John chapter 1, verse 14, he says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So the disciples reported seeing God's glory in Jesus because they spent time with him. The more time we spend with Christ, the more his glory will be reflected through us in our lives. So do we, as people, as Christ followers, do we schedule a time each day to spend with God to seek his glory? And will our lives, just like we schedule appointments or obligations? Like I said before, I'm hoping and praying that each one of us has accepted this gift. Like we read in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave." Each one of us that has given a present or will be giving a present during this season, you have bought it, you've thought about it, you've kind of thought about it to see what's going to be special to a certain person, and you wrapped it up. And now, maybe you have already, or maybe you will this afternoon, you will take this gift and you will hand it to that special person. And you're hoping, or you're expecting this person to receive that gift with gratitude and to use it or appreciate the gift. And that's what Christ has done. He handed us a gift, his son. It came in a small form as a baby. And how adorable aren't babies? But he's not there in that manger anymore. He's back in eternity because he gave himself as a gift for you, as a payment for yours and my sins. How excited are we about that gift? How much time do we spend with that gift? Is it valuable to us? Is it just as valuable to us today as the day that we received it? Like often when we give, when our children were still small, we would give them a gift at Christmas time and they were so excited. And they played with it probably for sometimes a year or maybe not even quite. And then all of a sudden you didn't see that gift anymore. They put it on the shelf. And it was forgotten. And I'm hoping the gift that God has given us, that it's not on a shelf somewhere this morning, but that we're utilizing the gift that he's given us, that we can have peace, that peace that only God can give us. When God gave us his son, and it was revealed to two kinds of people. It was revealed to the shepherds, and it was revealed to the wise men. In Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 11, in Luke chapter 2, 8 to 11, it says, "And there were in the fields, in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." So the shepherds were nearby. They were not too far away. But then if we go to Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, Matthew 2, 1 and 2, it says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east of Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." The wise men were far away. So there was two groups of people starting a journey towards to finding this king that had been born. The star appeared to both. The angel appeared to both. So they started their journey to worship their Savior and King, the shepherds and the wise men. The shepherds were close by, and that would kind of be like those of us who have known Christ for many, many years. We're close by. We know who Christ is. He's familiar. The story is familiar. But we often take Christ for granted. We sometimes even forget Christ in Christmas. And then there are the wise men that also saw this star, and they traveled far. And they talk, it says, if you read the whole account, they were determined to find this Jesus. So the wise men could be someone here today that's heard about this baby. We've heard about Christmas. But still have a long way to go to get to know this Jesus. A new Christian. Or someone who is just starting the journey with Jesus. When we start something different from our old ways, it is new and exciting, just like it was for the wise men. They were determined, they were excited, and they followed this star over rough terrain, over smooth terrain. It didn't matter, but they were determined to find Jesus. So if we're a shepherd, or we've known Jesus for many years, I think sometimes we need to ask God to revive that childlike excitement in us. And also to keep us excited and focused on this Jesus, not just during Christmas, but in our day-to-day lives. And if we're a wise man, we're just starting out in our Christian walk, or maybe we haven't even accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Don't stop seeking him, no matter how difficult the journey. Ask God to guide you home to worship this Jesus. Think of Christmas as part of your journey to worship and adore our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're all on a journey. Each one of us is walking through this life on a journey. This is not our home. We're just kind of passing through. So my wish and prayer would be that each one of us takes Christmas seriously. It's a joyous season. It's a time in the world when God intervened and he gave mankind an opportunity to have salvation. Like sometimes it's said, it's free for us, but it cost God dearly. That's where salvation started in the New Testament, by the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's not forget him. Let's worship him and praise him, not just today, but throughout the year. Before we go over to the second part of our message, I want to give each one of you the opportunity to go on bended knee and to pray to this Jesus who has saved us. So for those of you who are able, let's kneel and pray in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please take your blue books and turn to page number 88, Joy to the World. Number 88, can we stand, please?
For the second part, I want to go to Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. So the shepherds heard the news, and they, like I said before already, they were excited. They had to go find this baby, Jesus, the Savior, that they had heard about and they had been waiting for all their life. So then in verse 17 it says, And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. They had seen it. They had heard it, they saw it firsthand, and they were so excited they could not keep it to themselves. They spread the news to whoever they came in contact with. Did you hear? Did you see him already? The news that Jesus Christ is born, the Messiah, the one that's going to save us from our sin. Are we that excited that we know this Jesus? It's an invitation to spread the news of Jesus Christ. We sing Christmas carols. We've sung three this morning. And all of them proclaim the news of Jesus Christ. Christmas carols for worship, they're powerful invitations to meet Christ as our Lord and Savior. The first Noel points out that the shepherds were told, "Born is the King of Israel," in verses 8 to 11 of our text. "Angels we have heard on high" describes the first-hand report of hearing the angels sing, verse 10 of our text. "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." How many of us follow up Christmas all year by going to tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere? Remember, it says in Matthew chapter 5 that we are the light of the world. We're to spread the light, the joyous news of Jesus Christ, the one that saved us from going to hell. The angels told the shepherds where to look and what to look for. In verses 11 to 14, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men." They heard it. The angels told the shepherds where to look and what to look for, but they didn't send them. They just told them. But they had been waiting for something, for someone to save them. And once they heard it, and once they had gone to look for this Jesus, they said, "Let us now go." The shepherds invited each other. They didn't say, "I'm going," but he said, "Let us now go and tell the people what we have found." Many people hear, but they don't go. They keep it to themselves. But we're told in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, that we are all supposed to go and tell the people about this great news. So who can you and I invite to meet this Savior after we're done here today? Or after today is over? Is the good news over? In verse 15 to 18, it says, "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger." They didn't kind of wander around. They made haste and they ran to find this baby, this Savior. "And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds." It made people think. When we talk about Christ, it's a seed that you sow, and it makes people think. Yeah, we've heard about this Jesus. Yeah, we've heard about Christianity. Yeah, we see all these churches around, but I don't have time or I'm not interested. But if you talk about it and you're excited about it, you plant a seed, and it starts kind of germinating, and it may become fruitful. 5 things to live for this Christmas and throughout the year. We have, if we go back to Philippians chapter 4, it tells us who we are to be as a light in this world. How we are to proclaim the good news that we've heard this morning and actually all of December already. About the anticipation of first of all, the child being born, which has already happened. But now the anticipation of this Jesus coming back for you and for me to take us home. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. It doesn't say rejoice in the Lord only December 25th. That's when we need to be excited. And the rest of the year, we don't need to be. We should be excited throughout the year. Because of God's gift to us, which is Jesus Christ. That's the gift that he's talking about. His love, his grace, and his mercy. Without Jesus, we can know all the most famous people in the world. But if we don't know Jesus, we've lost everything. It doesn't matter if we don't know anybody else, but if we don't know Jesus, we have nothing. Wonderful things to focus on in Philippians 4, verse 8. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. When we go to bed at night and we have all kinds of stuff running through our head and we can't fall asleep because it burdens us down, if we turn that around and we think on these things, that with all these things that are just read, things that are pure, things that are lovely, things that are good, things, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. It takes that away. It takes the burden away. If we praise God in our lives. In Romans chapter 8, verses 27 and 28, these are very familiar verses, and I don't know why, well, I kind of know why, but for the last 3 or 4 months, almost every day when I've been reading either scripture or different devotional books or different books, preparing for different things, either services or meetings or whatever, I come across these two verses. In Romans chapter 8, verses 27 and 28, it says, he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Just a little while ago, I read about what we're supposed to think of. And it, in Philippians 4, verse 4, it says, rejoice always. So we will see God working in our lives. And like we see in these two passages in Romans chapter 8, 27 and 28, it is all for our benefit. Just like Jesus Christ was born for our benefit. So we didn't have to go to the cross. So we had an opportunity for salvation, full and free, a gift. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, it says, let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. We are to prepare. Now, if I would ask all the women in this congregation this morning, how much time did you spend this last week preparing for Christmas? The food, the house, the decorations, all these things. How much time did you spend preparing so that everything would be in order when the children and grandchildren arrived? How much time are we spending preparing to meet Jesus face to face throughout the year, not just Christmas? He tells us here that we are supposed to let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. And I've heard that that line since I was yay high in Sunday school. The end is near. But you know what? It is 60 years closer now than it was then. The Lord is at hand. Prepare, reject worry, and turn to prayer, like he tells us here. And let your requests and your supplication be known to God. God is listening. God is interested in your life. Otherwise, he wouldn't have sent us Jesus. And then he says, but don't forget to be thankful. And we have so much to be thankful for. We don't know the future. We can make plans for the future, and we all do. We probably all have plans already, what we want to do tomorrow or what we are anticipating to do tomorrow. But God holds the future. We need to trust the one who holds tomorrow, like the song I know, who holds tomorrow. We can count on God, who is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, like he tells us in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. That's the one we trust. The God that loves us so much that he sent us, Jesus. And then if we turn to Philippians 4, verse 9, it says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. For those of us here this morning, and I'm hoping it's all of us, we're all Christ followers, right? We're Christians. We are known by the name of Christ. What are we going to do with it in 2022? Are we going to live for ourselves and keep it to ourselves, or are we going to live to do it? Like he says here in verse 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Do it. Live to do it. We are to live active, obedient, involved lives for the Savior. That's who we're supposed to be. The light of the world, the salt of the earth. After we have read, or after we read, hear, and think, and plan, then we need to act. We can hear the whole scripture spelled out to us. We can memorize the whole scripture. But if we don't act, it helps us nothing. It helps the next person nothing. We need to act. The Christian life is living fully engaged in following Christ. Where is Christ in our life? This morning, he's right front and center, right? Because if it wasn't for Christ, why would we celebrate? Today, he's very important. But what about at the end of January or February when it's been cold and dreary for 2 months? Is Christ still then important to us? Is Christ important to us when it's inconvenient or uncomfortable? We turn to Philippians 4, verse 5. It says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. So what are you living for? We all need to live. But what's the most important in our lives? Is it the shiniest car? Or the biggest house? Or the biggest bank account? Or is Christ actually the most important in our life? I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having all those things. If God blesses us and we can afford these things, that's great. But what's important is when we leave here, when the kingdom of God is at hand, when God comes, when Jesus comes back to get his bride, are we going to be part of that church? That's what Christmas is all about. Preparing, enjoying the festivities of Christmas with Christ as the center. Because if Christ isn't in it, it's empty. Because all those gifts that we receive, which I'm not saying we're not supposed to exchange gifts, but all those gifts we receive from one another, we appreciate them, we look forward to them, but they will all stay here. But we won't. So live each day knowing and anticipating Christ's return for his church, the bride. In John chapter 14, verse 3, John 14, verse 3. He says, and if I go, this is Jesus Christ, the baby in the manger here, he's talking to you and me right now. He says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will. He says, it doesn't say I might. He says, I will come again and receive you unto me, unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So the return is promised. It's something that we can anticipate will happen. Maybe not in our lifetime, but even if not in our lifetime, we will meet Christ when we die. May we focus on Christ this Christmas and throughout the new year. In Luke chapter 2, verse 20, Luke chapter 2, verse 20, it says, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. The shepherds were returning and they were glorifying and praising God. And if we turn to Matthew chapter 2, verse 11, Matthew 2, 11, it says, this is about the wise men, and when they were come unto the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. So, are you and I going to be like the wise men and the shepherds to go out of our way to worship and to praise him and to present him with our gifts, our gift? submitting ourselves totally to this Jesus. The one that was born in a stable. The one that lived to teach us who he was, that he was the God-man. The one that went to the cross to pay the penalty for you and me. The one that rose on the third day to defeat Satan and death, and was resurrected, and he walked out of that grave, just like when, at the end of time, when Jesus Christ returns, and all the graves will be opened, and everybody will come out and be reunited with this Jesus, the ones that have accepted the gift. But we need to take the gift, and we need to live it and do it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you at the close of the service and want to thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We want to thank you for extending your love towards us by sending him as a baby. We pray that each one here this morning knows this Jesus, not just knows about him, but knows him. And if there should be somebody here that does not know him, that today would be the day that they would seek him diligently, as the wise men and the shepherds did. And I pray for the ones, for all of us that have known this Jesus for many years, that the excitement of this Christmas season would be evident in our lives throughout the next year, so that when people come in contact with each one of us, that they can say that these people, they know Jesus. They have been with Jesus, and they are with Jesus. May you bless each family as they gather this season. Bless the fellowship. Bless the gifts. And may the gifts remind us of the ultimate gift that you have given us, Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. For all other things that you may have upon your heart, for those of you who are able, let's kneel and pray in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Once again, take the blue book and turn to number 83. All come, all ye faithful. Number 83, could we stand, please? Thank you.
Good morning. Thank Brother Ken for that enthusiastic message. Thank you. A few announcements. The program committee is planning a New Year's Eve program for this coming December 31st at 10 p.m. That's not a misprint in your bulletin. It starts at 10 p.m. Join us in singing in the new year. Everyone is welcome in the church dining hall. If you are willing to participate, please call the program committee. And if you could please bring a little finger food for the snack, it would be greatly appreciated. Also, for those that wish to have a CD copy of the Christmas program that was posted online, please see the sound booth in the back. Also, the new church lists are available in the foyer. And finally, hopefully I can speak on behalf of all the ministerial and our wives. We wish you a blessed Christmas and a healthy, happy new year. Thank you.
Thank you, Pete. I'd like to also extend greetings, first of all, from the ministerial in Mexico. They sent greetings this morning to give to you as well, that you will have a blessed and a blessed Christmas and a spiritual prosperous new year. And also from the ministerial in Seminole, the same. And on behalf of my wife and myself, we would like to also wish you a blessed Christmas season and a healthy and happy new year. I guess for that New Year's program, we'll all have to have Maraschlop. It's past my bedtime at 10 o'clock, but it'll work. Enjoy your family this Christmas season, and let's bow for the benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace from now and forevermore. Amen. And you may go in peace with the Lord, and may God richly bless you.